But what a beautiful place we're in, right? Isn't this amazing? I mean, this is my first time, your second, right? But how awesome is this? How awesome is the Lord to bless us with this place that we get to meet in each and every Sunday? Amen, right? Now, I have something to confess to you all. I am a massive superhero nerd, okay? It's just the truth. I was up too late last night looking up leaked footage of the new Infinity Wars trailer because I love the Marvel movies. I'm a Marvel fan. I love the Marvel movies. Nicole and I, we're big movie people in general, right? So we like going to the movies anyway. But I'm a massive fan of the Marvel movies. And this past spring, I had some good foresight and to see that Marvel's coming out with a lot of new movies. They're really ramping it up. And so I coerced my family into watching all the Marvel movies before the summer. And so I kid you not, we watched 13 movies in 6 weeks. It was amazing. It was fantastic. We were all excited. My sister was getting excited, which you know means that everybody enjoyed it. But you know, every superhero movie is kind of the same plot line. Every superhero movie, when you really break it down, has the basic formula of this. Our main character is introduced, and we learn about who he or she is. And then there's some sort of a trial. Right, there's a controversy, something dangerous happens, and at the climax of the film, our character is at its lowest. It's about to give up, right? It's under a pile of rubble, and then it gets inspired, right? It figures out that missing piece. It runs that one final test. It makes a choice, a needed change it hadn't before, and in doing so, it gains the strength to overcome adversity, to stop the attack, to save the girl, to save the city. Again, poor New York, they can never catch a break, right? I mean, how many times that place need to fall and be rebuilt? And we leave the movie theater all excited, right? And okay, well, honestly, I leave the movie theater all excited. And you know, when we come up against hardships, against adversity, against trials or difficulties, we expect that life will actually happen like it does at the movies. That something's just going to click, or we'll figure out that missing piece, or we'll be inspired by something. We'll run that one final test. We'll gain that strength, either mental, emotional, or physical, to face the challenge and be the hero we see on the silver screen. See, ultimately, it seems we want to be in control of every circumstance that happens to us in our own journey of life. But that doesn't always happen, right? In fact, it never happens. Why is that? Well, because last time I checked, I'm not starring in a Marvel movie. I haven't developed any shocking new powers, even though I have some more recent summer bug bites. We've been tricked into thinking that we are in charge of our own life. We've been tricked into thinking that our actions and our choices can determine the outcome of any and every circumstance we come against. And so when seasons of adversity, disappointment, trials, or hardships come, our fleshly instinct is to rely on things created rather than to rely on the Creator. Our hearts are focused too much on personally overcoming adversity rather than submitting and trusting and relying on the Lord to handle every situation. Because he's capable of all our needs, amen? We believe that this morning, church, amen? And rather than gaining control, we need to release control to the Lord because we never leave the Lord's sight. He's always watching over us to help us, to keep us from harm, to protect us from evil, because the Lord is greater than our circumstances. So go ahead and get your Bibles open. We're continuing in our series of summer songs. And go ahead and turn to Psalm 121. Now, if there's one big thing for you this morning that I want you to grasp, I want you to walk away with, one point, our bottom line, big idea, whatever you want to call it, it's this. The Lord is greater than my circumstance. The Lord is greater than my circumstance. He's got everything I need. He can take care of any situation I'm going through. Maybe even right now, you're going through a tough situation, or there's a situation in your life that you just need to release control of and give it to the Lord. You've been worrying about it. You've been anxious about it. You've been stressing over it. You've been prioritizing it greater than the Lord. You've been looking for ways to overcome it. And if that's you this morning, I hope that today you will turn your eyes off of you and off of your situation, and you would turn them on to the Lord, who is greater than your circumstance, who can truly take care of everything you need. He has all you need. He knows your every step. He's capable of handling your situation. Amen? Everyone at Psalm 121, when you're there, go ahead and say, "I'm there." All right, awesome. Follow along with me as I read aloud. Verse 1, it says, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." What amazing hope we have in that psalm, right? Unbelievable. So what do we know about Psalm 121? Well, we know that the psalms are worshipful, right? Maybe you've picked up on a lot of the songs that we sing at church have different phrases that you recognize from a psalm, from a verse of a psalm in the various psalms within the Bible, right? Because psalms are worshipful. They were written to use to worship the Lord. And so we do that today. But this psalm specifically, this is a psalm of ascent. Okay, now what does that mean? Well, it means that about three times of the year, the Israelites would pilgrim to Jerusalem to celebrate specific holidays. Okay, they would go to celebrate Passover. They would go to celebrate Pentecost. They would go to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And they would leave their home with all their family. Okay, they'd take everybody. They'd leave their town. And they would travel and journey to Jerusalem up the mountain to the temple. And as they were going, the Israelites would sing these psalms of ascent on their way to go and sacrifice, to go and worship at the temple. This is one of 15 psalms of ascent, all right? This is, would have been the second one that they would have sung on their journey to Jerusalem. This is a celebratory song, isn't it? I mean, look at it. This is a song celebrating who God is and what he does for us. Now, as many of you probably know, Jerusalem is located in a high place. We know that the temple was built atop Mount Moriah. You can go to the place where the temple was built. It's called the Temple Mount. And back then, we know that the Lord dwelt in the temple. And so to go and worship the Lord, you had to go to the temple to sacrifice and give your offering and to worship there. But the cool thing about today, church, is this. Today, we don't need to go to a temple to worship the Lord. Right? We don't need to go to a specific church to worship the Lord. Because of what Jesus has done for us, and because of him giving us the Holy Spirit, we don't need to go to a temple. We are a temple of the Lord. And as the Israelites would pilgrim and they would travel to the temple, he would have to pass through a valley on his journey up the mountain. Now, valleys are pretty dangerous. Valleys are a dangerous place because all who pass through or live in the valley are prone to their enemies on either side attacking them, right? The enemies on the high ground standing up and shooting arrows down into the valley, attacking the people who live there or the passerbys, right? But while valleys are dangerous, mountains represent safety. They represent a refuge. They represent longevity. These have been standing here for ages and nothing's going to knock them down, right? They represent security. Isn't that why we so often see forts, citadels, castles, temples, fortresses built on top of mountains? Because it's in a secure place. It's in the most secure place. You know, mountains are strategic positions to hold in conquest. They're the Australia of risk. All right, any big risk players in here? I don't know if you can win the game without having Australia, right? Mountains are strategic. They're a symbol of strength, and I'm so excited for our high school ministry next year. We're going to be starting a series called Peaks, Valleys, and we're going to be talking about what it means to live for the Lord in the highs and lows of life. We're going to be looking at different mountaintop experiences in the Bible and different valley experiences. I'm so excited about it, and I've been just thinking about it, and it's going to be a great fall. So look what the psalmist says here in verse 1. What's he say? He says, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come?" The psalmist, he looks to this symbol of strength and security, yet he asks, "Where shall my help come?" He looks at this perceived security, but he knows that it cannot truly protect him, right? Now, I don't think that the psalmist was actually writing this question in search for an answer. Okay, I don't think he was writing this question worried about what he was going to happen to him. I don't think he was writing this question afraid or that this is a question of doubt. He's not afraid. Why do you say that? Well, look at the verses to follow. You know, we see that David has verses, right, that say, I'm in my distress, or, you know, protect me, Lord, my enemies surround me. We don't see that here. In fact, rather, it's asked to introduce the truth of who the Lord is in verse 2. It's asked in confidence. You know, remember, the Psalms are songs of worship. They're written creatively. And don't we, in our worship today, we use questions to describe who God is and what he does for us, right? You know, I'm thinking of the song Holy that we sing. And we get to the bridge and it says, whom shall we say you are? I don't think we're confused who we've come to worship on Sunday, right? Whom shall we say you are? It's, you're the living God. We've asked the question to set up who the Lord is. Whom shall we say you are? You know the second half? What is it? Who is it? You're the great I am, right? The highest name of all. We're not wondering those things. We know those things. I know there's another song we sing called God Most High, which says, is he not the same God, the same one who spoke the world? We see the heights of the mountains, depths of the valleys, the waves of every sea. Is he not the same God, the same one who named the distant stars? Are we really questioning whether the Lord is the creator? No, we're worshiping him as the creator, because our creator is greater than our circumstance. And in the same way, the psalmist says, where does my help come from? And he gives us the answer in verse 2. He says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So if you're taking notes today, this is our first point. You might want to write this down. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The psalmist knows that though the mountains provide refuge, though they are often relied upon in times of trouble, only the Lord is our help. And church, our helper is the creator of the world. How cool is that? And he's sovereign over all. And though we know the truth of verse 2, though we know the truth of verse 2, that the creator of the universe is the one who helps us in every situation, though we know the truth of verse 2, how often do we live believing it? Do we live in such a way that believes the truth of verse 2? See, too often when times of trials, troubles, or hardships arise, we search for help in our own strengths, our own comforts, our own personal mountains, if you will, rather than place our trust in the Lord. See, we're tempted to seek help in things that we feel a sense of security in, rather than trust in the truth of verse 2, that the Lord is our help. And so we turn to good things, right? We turn to our spouse. How often have you heard somebody who's walked through a tough time be like, man, my spouse is a rock. I couldn't have got through life without them or whatever. And isn't that interesting that they're comparing their spouse to a rock? Maybe it's my family. How could I get through this tough situation without my family? If I didn't have my family, or maybe it's your friends. I've got great friends and I need my friends to get through these things. Or maybe it's not a relationship. Maybe it's an achievement. Well, I'm decorated in this, that, and the other. Or it's my job, and I just got to stick my nose to the grind and get things done. That's where I'm going to find my help. That's where I'm going to work with my way out of this. Or maybe it's my skills. Maybe it's my talents. Or we turn to possessions to try and distract us for how those things aren't really working. So I just need more money. I need more possessions. I need to be the one making the shots. I need power. Maybe we turn to alcohol to numb the worry and the fear of the situation we're in. Maybe we find substances to abuse to distract us from what we're going through, or immorality to binge. But none of those things will be able to satisfy the help that we need in our journey of life. See, because none of these will help, because none of these are perfect. People aren't perfect. We're sinful people. Everyone here, we're a bunch of sinners, but we've been saved by grace through Jesus Christ. Amen? People aren't perfect. Things aren't perfect. They're made by imperfect people. Jobs aren't perfect. Imperfect people tell imperfect people what to do, and they go do it with imperfect things. And we so quickly turn to things that are imperfect to fix our situation, to bring peace to our worry, to answer our problem, to free us from our anxiety, to help us in our distress. And our flesh tempts us to place our trust in the creation rather than in the Creator. See, only the Lord is perfect. Only the Lord can satisfy. Only the Lord can fix our situation and bring peace to our worry. Only the Lord can answer our problem. Only the Lord can free us from our anxiety. Only the Lord can help us in our distress. The Lord is greater than my circumstance. The Lord is my helper. So where do you search for help in your times of need? Where do you search for help in your times of need? Do you take things straight to the Lord? Well, listen, this has come up in my life, and let's pray about this, and then let's see what he wants us to do. Or do you try to go to things to help? And what are some of those things that you are tempted to seek help in other than the Lord? Maybe you need to have a heart check right here, right now, and ask yourself, do I believe that the Lord is my helper? Do I trust him to provide in my times of need? Do I have faith that he can handle anything I may face? What's verse 1 and 2 say? It says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. It is foolish to trust in the created, but it is wise to trust in the Creator. So get your eyes off of creation, church, and get them onto the Lord Jesus, because no matter how long you search or how high you look, you will find no true salvation outside of Jesus our Lord. And I just have to stop here and I have to ask the question. I just have to. Do you know, have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord? Have you put your faith in him? Have you turned from your sin and embraced Jesus Christ as Lord? I don't even want to move on until you've really searched your soul and asked yourself that question. Because I don't even understand how anybody can live in confidence in this life without Jesus. See, because knowing Christ gives confidence. From here, verse 1 and 2, the psalmist now turns. Filled with confidence that the Lord is his helper, he turns from speaking in first person, I, my, to second person, you, he, almost as if he is telling this now to a friend. Maybe he's just reminding himself of the truths that he knows. Let me ask a question. Do you talk to yourself? Got a bunch of nods, right? We all kind of talk to ourselves, and I'm sure everybody who nodded has been prone to a situation where they've been focused on something, right? And I've been just working through it, and I'm talking through it, and I've got to do this, and I got to walk the dog, and I got to do this, and somebody comes out and is like, who are you talking to? And you're like, what? I'm not talking to anybody. And it's like, well, I'm not talking to you, right? And it's okay to talk to yourself, but only if you're talking truth to yourself. It's not okay to talk to yourself if you're talking nonsense to yourself, if you're telling yourself lies, you're making yourself even worry more. I'm just talking, this is going to happen, is the Lord going to provide this? And it's not okay to talk to yourself if you're just going to tell worries to yourself. Instead of that, tell yourself the truth of God's word, not the lies of the enemy. See, maybe you would even want to memorize these first two verses of Psalm 121. And the next time that troubles arise, you can say, hey, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Do I need to fear this thing going on in my life? No, because God is my helper. Our second point today is this. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my keeper. Look at verse 3. He will not allow your foot to slip, it says. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Church, God cares for you. He cares for us. He isn't on his throne waiting for you to make some sort of mistake so that he can capture it on his phone and post it on whatever heaven's social media is to get a bunch of likes from the angels. That's not what God's about. God cares for you. He cares about your walk. He cares about your life. God cared for the Israelite as he journeyed to Jerusalem, to the temple, to offer sacrifice and worship the Lord. See, this psalm is a promise of protection. This psalm is a promise of provision. I mean, check this out. The word keep here that we see, okay? He who keeps you. This word keep means literally to guard and to protect. Okay, so let's look at this verse with that in mind. He will not allow your foot to slip. It says, he who guards and protects you will not slumber. Behold, he who guards and protects Israel will neither slumber nor sleep, because the Lord is greater than my circumstances. The Lord is my keeper. He's guarding me and protecting me. He's always on watch, right? He never takes a break. He never sleeps. And it's not just that, he doesn't slumber either. He's not just going to go take a nap and allow, you know, one of the angels to take the wheel for an hour or so. No, 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 he will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, I don't know if you know this. I didn't know this, but there is a difference between those two words, okay? Sleep and slumber. I kind of thought they were the same thing. I kind of thought sleep is what we all know to be sleep, and slumber are those who snore, right? They're in a deep slumber you don't awaken, right? And sleep is different. Sleep is what we know, okay? That's pretty standard. But slumber is actually like a nap, okay? So it means that God's just not going to, you know, I'm just going to close my eyes for 10 minutes, and that's all I need. I just need a break. No, no, no. God's not going to take a break on you. He's not going to go and take a nap. He's always watching over us. Isn't that what Elijah taunted the prophets of Baal about on Mount Carmel? Right? You know that story? Where Elijah's up here and he's preparing his ox for offering to the Lord, and they've got 450 prophets of Baal on the other side, and they're all jumping around and they're shouting, "Oh, Baal, answer us," right? And they're like working themselves up, and Elijah, he's over here, he's just laughing at these guys. And he's like, "Hey, shout a little louder, you know? Give me a little bit more. Maybe he needs to be woke up, right? Maybe he's just asleep." Look what it says in 1 Kings. Elijah mocked them and said, "Call out with a loud voice, for he is a lowercase g god. Either he is occupied or gone aside or is on a journey. Or perhaps," check this, "or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened." You know how the story ends, don't you? The prophets of Baal, they get even more worked up and they start cutting themselves and doing all these evil things. But Elijah, all he has to do is he says, "Hey, put a little more water on my offering." How cool is that, right? The boldness, right? And then he just prays to the Lord and bam. See, our God is the one true God. He's not a false prophet. He's not a false idol. He's the one true God. He's the creator of the world, and he doesn't take a time out from life. He doesn't slumber nor sleep. He's not like that. He will neither slumber nor sleep. It's not that he leaves his phone on loud, plugged in next to his bed, just in case he gets a text or a phone call and he can answer it, right? He's not like that. It's not like God has some sort of adult baby monitor so that during his nap when we cry, he can hear it and go tend to our needs. God's not like that. It's not like God has some sort of a supernatural smoke detector to alert him when things catch fire in our life. God's not like that. Even though I'm sure if God did have one of those, it wouldn't have to change the battery so often. I mean, what is it with those things? They're going off at like the absolute worst time ever. You know what I'm saying? So I'll tell you a story. The last time my mother-in-law came to visit with her husband, the smoke detector in their room decided it would go off. And it's a lot like this one that's been going off, but when it's not up there in the ceiling and it's kind of right here, it's much more violent. And it would have been nice if it had decided to go off at 5 p.m. in the afternoon, but it never chooses to do that, right? They always choose to go off at 2 a.m., the time when we would actually, you know, need it if a fire were to arise, right? And so I get a phone call from my mother-in-law's husband. He's like, "Yeah, smoke detector's going off in the room. It's 2 a.m. So I stumble out of bed and I walk over and I'm in my pajamas and I walk over and I open the door and he's in his pajamas and she's in her pajamas and I'm in my pajamas and we're all looking at each other like, what are we going to do? And I look up at this thing and it's beeping and I'm like, yep. So I walk back to my room and I didn't want to get on a ladder because I'm in my pajamas, right? And so I walk back to my room and I get, you know, those like lightsaber things that light up, you know? Those like long lightsabers. So I had one of those. So I'm walking across using it as a light and I get in and he's still in his PJs and she's hiding under the covers now. It's like, well, I've already seen you. So I mean, it's like nothing's going to happen. I'm poking at the thing to get it to work. And we finally got that thing to work. But I'm telling you, I hope we never have to have that experience with each other ever again. It's just too uncomfortable. But you know what? Our God's not like that. He's not like that. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's not like that. He's not like that. See, our Lord is always watching over us. He's alert. He's aware. He's awake. Psalm 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." The Lord is our keeper. The Lord won't sleep on you in your time of need. God is alert. He never sleeps. He will not allow your foot to slip, it says. He will hold you up. He will sustain you. And don't let the enemy try to convince you otherwise. Because check this out. Because the God who keeps all of Israel, the God who guards all of Israel, the God who protects all of Israel, who keeps all of Israel, he keeps you personally. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? He knows our situation. He loves us and he cares for us. He doesn't want to see us fail. He wants to see us succeed. The Lord is greater than our circumstance, and he's a good father. And we can live in confidence because of God's promised provision. And you know, that ought to change the way we live, right? I mean, really, when we think about that God is keeping us, he's guarding and protecting us, that ought to change the way that we live. It should change how we act. It should change how we combat different trials that pop up in our life. It ought to change how we pray, too. I mean, shouldn't we like pray with more confidence, knowing that the Lord protects us and that he's in control of all of our situations? You know, Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, promised preservation should be the subject of perpetual prayer. And we may pray believingly, for those who have God for their keeper shall be safe from all perils of the way. The Lord is greater than our circumstance. The Lord is our keeper. Let's move on. Look at verse 5. It says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. And you know, when I read these verses, maybe you guys know Jacqueline and Amir have a dog, and his name is Caspian. Okay? Now, Caspian, we have a picture of him. Yeah, there he is. He's a cute little guy, right? And Caspian, he's very smart. I'm sure you've seen him on Jacqueline's Instagram, or you follow him on his own Instagram. I don't know how he does it. He takes the picture and types, but he is a very smart dog. And Caspian's much different than the dogs that I grew up with, my mom's dogs. My mom has Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, and Caspian is an American Shepherd. Now, one of the many ways the Caspian is different than our dogs is that my mom's dogs have like a single coat of fur, okay? Now, Caspian, he has one of those double coats of fur. So when we're up in July, we spend the month of July in Michigan with family, and when we're up there, all my mom's dogs want to do is find a warm place in the sun and just nap all day. I mean, they're beach babes, totally. They want to go there, and they're laying down, and they, like, sprawled out in the sun. They want to warm up. They love that. They're getting their tan on, right? But Caspian, he's not like that. Caspian overheats. And so he's in the sun, and he's playing, and he's running around, and then he's got to go find one of these beautiful oak trees and these big branches to sit under in that and be protected from the sun and the cool of the shade. And, you know, when I read verse 5 and 6, I kind of think of us like Caspian. Look what it says. It says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. See, God is guarding us from what might harm us. Now, the Israelite traveler totally would have grasped these verses, right? Days of walking to the temple to worship, and he would have totally understood the dangers of the scorching sun. He would have understood that the sun can cause dehydration. He would have understood that the sun can cause sunburn, a danger that many of our friends underestimate when we bring them to Disney, right? We come in with friends, we leave with lobsters. I was like, I didn't know this was the Food and Wine Festival, but all right. But that never happens to us. No, it does happen to us, doesn't it? I was, for my dad's 50th birthday, we went deep sea fishing with a group of guys, and we had a good time. I mean, I had never been deep sea fishing before. I still feel like I haven't because I didn't catch anything. But you know how it works. Amir catches 9 sharks, and I don't catch anything. And I pull out like a weed. It's like we're in the ocean. I didn't know they had weeds. And but we had a really nice time. But you know how it is when you spend a day out in the sun, whether you're on the boat or whether you're at the beach or whether you're at Disney, and you get kind of sweaty, and then you get baked. There's no other way to really describe it. The sweat kind of just hardens, you know. You get it in your little crevices of your arms right here, and it's like you just are sticky, like all I want to do is take a shower. But you've had a nice day, you're just kind of baked, you know, you've been in the oven, like you're egg washed, right? And so I came home, it was a long day, I couldn't wait for a shower, and I took off my shirt to get ready for the shower, and I looked in the mirror and I said, I don't remember putting on a white undershirt underneath this. Oh no, I forgot to wear sunscreen, right? And I'm telling you, I got burnt to a crisp. I was like red, like shooter sleeves on the arms. I wore a V-neck. I had a nice red, like triangle right here on my chest. I was wearing a hat that day that was backwards and it had a snapback. So it was right across. There's a white bar across the top of my head, which so many of you were so kind that following Sunday to point out to me. So many of you were like, Robert, did you not wear sunscreen? No, I didn't realize that. It's Sunday. That happened Thursday, right? And you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, but We understand the dangers of the scorching sun, don't we? But I think one thing that I just didn't put together until I was studying this week for this passage is really the dangers of the moon by night. I mean, there can be days where there are scorching heat, and then in the evenings there's a sudden drop of temperature, right? Same day, and it cools way down, and the traveler would have known the dangers of the fact that this can be uncomfortable and even unhealthy. But the hope that we have is that the Lord is our keeper, the protector of the traveler, as he is for you and for me. And the psalmist says here that day and night our Lord will protect us. He's a shelter to us, protecting us from any harm that may come our way. It says that the Lord protects from opposites, okay? From the two opposites, day and night, sun and moon, which covers everything in between. But this is cool. So Israel, back then and even still today, they operate on a lunar calendar. Do you know what that is? So while their days are like our days, where it's based off the rising and the setting of the sun, right? In Israel, their months are determined by the rotation of the moon. That's why Easter is never on the same Sunday. You know, it's like it's never on the same week. One year it's in April, the next it's in March. It's because it's operated around when Passover is on the moon. And so check out what the psalmist is actually saying to us here in this passage. It says, the sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Neither the sun, day by day, nor the moon, month by month, will smite us or bring us harm, because the Lord is the creator of them. And he is greater than our circumstances. He is our protector. That's our third point. If you're keeping notes, the Lord is my protector. Look at verse 7. It says, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Now, this verse could be kind of confusing. When you read it, it could be kind of confusing because it almost seems to be saying that the Lord will not allow anything bad to happen to you, doesn't it? He's going to protect us from all evil. But we know that Jesus tells us that we will be persecuted for his name's sake. Right? So what do you mean we're protected from all evil, yet bad things are still going to happen to us? What does that even mean? Maybe you're in a tough situation right now and you're asking that question. Verse 7 says he's going to protect me from all evil, but then why is this happening to my family? Why are we having to go through this? And might I suggest to you that this verse doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to you, but rather that God may permit bad things to happen to us in order to bring about his will for us. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's use scripture to interpret scripture. Think about a person in the Bible. Think about a person in the Bible who walked through extremely difficult times. Okay? And ask yourself, how would that person have worshipped to Psalm 121? Okay, the Psalms are worshipful. And you know, you and I, we were made to worship the Lord. We are created for the sole purpose of bringing God worship. Not in the good times. Not just in the good times. But even in our suffering, we're hands raised, voices blaring, right? We are called to worship the Lord. So how would somebody going through a bad time have been able to worship to Psalm 121? You know who I think of? I think of Joseph. Now, I know Joseph didn't have the Psalms in his day, but think about that for a second. How would Joseph, given all that he lived through, how would he have worshipped to Psalm 121? I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? Because I'm standing in a pit that my brothers have forcefully thrown me into. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip, even though I've been stripped and sold into slavery by my own family. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep, though I'm being dragged from my homeland in Canaan down to Egypt to be sold as a slave to Potiphar. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night, though I've been falsely accused and unjustly thrown into prison. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. So what's the answer? How could Joseph have worshipped the Lord to this psalm, given all that he was walking through? The beautiful thing is that Joseph gives us the answer in his own words. Genesis 50:20, he is talking to his brothers, and he says, as for you, what you meant for evil, he says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Joseph says, listen, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Look at what all he's done. And listen up, church, you have never left the Lord's protection. No matter what you are going through, you have never left his hands. He has not fallen asleep on you. The Lord is your protector, and he may allow hurt to come into your life. He may allow trials and hardships and struggles and suffering and illness and pain and difficulty and heartache, but he will use it according to his will to refine you and to bring himself glory. See, in the economy of God, even the evil, bad, difficult, unjust is employed by God so that from eternity's vantage point, it will be apparent that God uses evil deeds to defeat evil itself. Let me say that again. In the economy of God, even the evil, bad, difficult, unjust is employed by God so that from eternity's vantage point, and in some cases it's going to take till eternity to really see how God was using that in our life. It may take until eternity for there to be resolution for that situation. But from eternity's vantage point, it will be apparent that God uses evil deeds to defeat evil itself. To clarify, God is not the one doing the evil deeds, right? He's not doing the evil deeds, but he can use it in order to bring about good in our life. Because ultimately, the Lord is greater than my circumstance. The Lord is greater than your circumstance. Have there been situations in your life where you can now look back and you can see that though you walked through something incredibly difficult, the Lord was using it in your life for good? I mean, think back. Is there a time where you walked through something really hard and painful, but the Lord used it to strengthen you or to provide for you or to refine you? Maybe you're in the middle of one of those seasons right now, and if that's you, can I just encourage you? Don't quit. God hasn't quit on you. Don't be discouraged. In the midst of the darkness, we cannot doubt what we know to be true in the light. 2 Timothy tells us, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. So in a time when it would be easy, would be so easy to fear, let us cast our cares to the Lord who is our helper and our keeper and our protector and trust that he will guide us according to his will. Isn't that what the psalmist says in Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord is greater than my circumstance. He's my protector, and he doesn't want me to fear because he cares for me. And he knows what I'm walking through, and he's providing for what I'm walking through. He cares for you. Jesus tells us not to fear in Luke 12. In Luke 12, he says, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you of whom to fear. Fear the one who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Jesus says, don't fear people on earth, fear the Lord. And on the heels of that, check out what he says next. He says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Listen, even though evil people can do things to you on this earth, God is your protector. And if the sparrows have what they need, you are far more valuable than many sparrows. Have no fear because God cares for you and he loves you. So what are we saying, church? We're saying that God's sovereign over any circumstance and he's able to handle anything that we may face. And he does it out of love for you and for me. See, knowing that the Lord is our protector ought to give us confidence and a renewed sense of security. Because no matter what we're going through, the Lord is watching over us and he is our protector. Look at verse 8. It says, the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. This is kind of truly the answer to the question in verse 7, isn't it? Because who's this talking about? It's talking about the Lord. And what's he going to do? He's going to guard you when? During your going out and your coming in. Well, for how long? It says forever. Forever. That's an amazing truth. Amen? The Lord is greater than my circumstance. Let me ask you a question. What is your security in this morning? What is your security in? Is it in the Lord who always watches over you? Or is it in something else? Is it in someone else? Is it in your abilities? Is it in your finances? Is it in your opportunities, or is it in your marriage? Is it in your friendships? Is your security in your help? Is it in your health? See, when my security is in any of those things, when they are taken away from me, it leads to my ruin. But when my security is in the Lord, they can take away my abilities. They can take away my finances. They can take away my wife. They can take away my life. But I will be found unmoved because the Lord is my security. So what is your security this morning? And where is your trust? Where is your confidence? Psalm 16 says it this way. It says, I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever. Let's pray. And as we just bow our heads, just take a moment and really ask yourself, is my trust in the Lord? Do I believe that he's my helper? He's my keeper? He's my protector? And if he's not, would you ask the Lord, Lord, would you make known to me what it is in my life that I need to tear down in order to fully rely on you? What Goliath must fall in my life in order for my trust to be fully on you? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are our help. God, we thank you that you are our keeper, that you are our protector. And Lord, would you help us truly understand that you are greater than our circumstance. Father, would you help us fully know that, God? Would you comfort us if we're hurting? Father, would you provide answers to us in your perfect timing? Lord, we worship no other name but the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have given us hope. No matter what would try to come against us, no matter what we may face, God, we know that you are greater than our circumstance. So we love you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name.